How does an Amazon agency work? How does my Amazon guy run? In today's podcast, I reveal how I run my agency like a news organization. Many of the principles I use are applicable in most organizations. My name is Stephen Pope, and I am the founder of My Amazon Guy. This podcast is sponsored by Alpha Raven House. If you want to triple your daily sales by ranking your product to the top of page one at 10% of the usual costs and getting verified reviews along the way, they're your solution. Check them out at alpharavenhouse.com. All right, so I used to be a television reporter for 2 years. Right out of college, I got a degree in communications. I actually went to college to be a television reporter. My father is also in the industry. His name is Dan Pope, and he is a weatherman in Utah and working for Channel 4 News. And he has been a chief meteorologist for decades, knows his weather, knows his TV. So I come from a family in that television industry, and I was a television reporter in Idaho for 2 years and then in Wisconsin for a brief stint, we'll call it. And I learned a lot when I was a television reporter. So in our podcast today, I'm going to talk about the roles in a news organization and kind of how I'm cross-applying them into an agency and what that means, how it impacts my organization, how I deliver for my clients. And hopefully this insight that I share today can help you think about how to run your own organization. So I'll share some insights and stories, and hopefully it's entertaining at the very least, if not actionable, but I think it will. I think it will be actionable today. So let's start first with kind of a little bit of history and what I did as a television reporter. So what is a television reporter? First of all, by my definition, that is somebody who is on-air talent, who is telling the news and doing so on a daily basis for a news organization. So I was on the air. I had a camera pointed to me, and I was interviewing people and writing up scripts and gathering facts and getting that press beat. So I loved being a television reporter, but I hated working for the news industry. Now, there's a lot of good things the news industry does, but unfortunately, in the middle of the 2008 debacle, I started my TV job. And I was the last person hired at my organization. And 2 years later, that station was bought out. So I joined a dying industry at the very lowest point possible. So I it's interesting because nowadays I'm in arguably the fastest growing industry in the world, a la e-commerce, and selling on Amazon. And so it's just night and day difference. Could not be more happy with my decision to be in the Amazon space. So as a television reporter, I would go out and collect information. I would do fun things. I'd go to the bear world in Idaho and hold bear cubs. And man, those are cute animals. They make such crazy weird noises when you're holding them. It's called nooking. Nook, 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 nook. I don't know how else to explain it. Go look it up on YouTube and have fun with that. And there are some gimmicks, and you know, I'll sidestep the Tiger King philosophy or story about, you know, zooing animals. We'll sidestep that today. But nonetheless, I got to do fun things like that. I was at Yellowstone when both Obama and Joe Biden visited in two events. I interviewed celebrities like Don Wells. And half of you are going, oh my goodness, and half of you are going, like, who's Don Wells? Well, she was Marianne on Gilligan's Island, which is quite the throwback. That dates you if you know who Don Wells is. And she was just so fabulous to talk to, I might add. Very clever woman, witty, and I don't remember the age that she was at the time of my interview, but I think mid-70s. And she didn't look a day over 50, for crying out loud. Very attractive woman. I also interviewed Fonzie, and did so when he just got off the airplane with Obama on Air Force One. At the time, I had no idea who Fonzie was. I had a, I was a nice reporter who showed up at an airport, didn't know anybody there. And I think it was the Montana Yellowstone Airport area. And the cameraman from the Montana, I'd struck up a nice conversation with him, and he kind of pulled on my shirt and he said, "Hey, you need to get in on this." And I'm like, "Okay, sure." And nice guy, had a great conversation. So I get in on it and I just start rolling tape. I don't know what I just signed up for. I'm talking to some random dude, and the cameraman actually did the questioning in this instance. And lo and behold, the dude starts telling jokes and he's like, "Yeah, I just got off Air Force One and they gave me these M&Ms. And I don't remember the joke. I just remember the M&Ms. But he got a nice little nifty gift as he got off Air Force One. When Air Force One left, I was on the tarmac and the airplane, get this, turned its engines directly at us and shot rocks at 100 miles per hour at my face, at my camera, pelted us all. Everybody's camera fell over. So I have been in situations that are uncomfortable as a television reporter. I covered a tanker explosion. Probably my best B-roll on my TV reporting reel is watching a tanker explode on camera. Some of the sound bites in my reporter days are still played out in my head, right? Like, "Oh, you can feel the heat." And you can see that in my television reporter reel when the tanker explodes and a woman is commenting and she's taping it herself. And it's so, so interesting. And fireballs on the screen and you name it. I have interviewed mayors in scandals and sat and asked tough questions. I have put political officials to test. I have had fun adventures and flew in a stunt airplane with Greg Poe. That was probably the greatest event of my television history in terms of fun and adventure. Got to fly upside down in an airplane. Got to do multiple Gs going in 90-degree angles, blacking out of the Earth's atmosphere, and all on tape. So a couple years of my life, I have daily videotapes of myself. It's a really fun career. But today, a multimedia journalist, as they've nicknamed them in the past decade, it's an awful job. And you would go out and you would do your daily beat, like I mentioned early in the podcast, but you would do like four or five people's jobs. You were the producer, you were the reporter, you were the writer, you were the interviewer, you were lugging around a camera and doing all of this yourself, and then you would have to go on air and all of the above. It was, and then you'd cut your tape, you go on air, and then you'd have to roll around and then load it to the website and then make your social media posts. I mean, it was just nonstop. And I took my first reporter job making $8.50 an hour. And that was less than I made in a call center working in college, for perspective. So TV reporters are very underpaid members of society. God bless them. And God bless all of those that are out there doing what service they can for the public. Many reporters these days are unfortunately sensationalists. Many news organizations are hacks. And many outlets that are online mediums are very much slanted, polarized content, and you name it. I'm going to sidestep all of that, but I mention that just because I have been in polarizing industry, and that's just kind of the framework I wanted to set up. So the roles in a news organization. There is a general manager who is where the buck stops. So at My Amazon Guy, I'm the founder, and you could say also the general manager. At a news organization, there is also a news director, and they are the point person who makes the decision of what goes on that 5 o'clock news every day. 6 o'clock news, 9 o'clock news, 10 o'clock news. You know, there's four different shows in the evening in most stations these days. There's also television reporters. That's your on-air talent, also multimedia journalists, if you will. They are often not supported by a cameraman, but your classic Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, April and producer, reporter, and camera guy, you know, rolling around in that van in New York City, they used to have a reporter a producer and a cameraman going around doing their thing. Or if you've seen Groundhog Day, same thing, producer, cameraman, reporter. That is all nowadays one single job, one multimedia journalist. Now, at big market organizations, they do have dedicated cameramen still, but it's still, even the big organizations, they still have multimedia journalists. So I very much was a multimedia journalist, so I knew how to pick up a camera, I knew how to be on air talent and tell a story, interview, shoot camera, you name it. There's also anchors, and most stations have at least two anchors on staff at all times, and those are the anchors that kind of cut away between stories and cue things up and keep the news flowing. Producers, which is very much been cut back these days, but there's usually a producer for each show. At small stations, there might only be one producer for the entire network or station, and they are the ones that go out and find some additional news beats or national coverage and plugs and plays them into the local station outlets. And they can decide, okay, you know, reporter one, you get 3 minutes today covering politics. Reporter two, you get a minute and a half covering, the ceremony of the ribbon ceremony at XYZ and whatnot. And then finally, the last division is the sales division. And that is classic account executives going out and selling commercials. Other jobs I haven't mentioned are, the techs. Those are the ones that push the buttons and make the lights go on and off and all the programming. There are many, many technical jobs there as well. So I set that up to kind of explain how a news organization is run. Now, pivoting over to how I run my agency and my Amazon guy. So I am kind of operating as both general manager, news director, TV reporter, anchor, producer, and sales all in one slot. As the founder, I'm pivoting through all of those roles, right? Now, on my team, and as the agency continues to scale, I'll have to step away from being that television reporter and that anchor and producer and whatnot, and I'll have to step away and be more of a general manager and cue things up and whatnot. My org chart, I've got me as the founder. Then I've got a role for account director, kind of special ops, go in and make sure top clients are taken care of and go in and fix problems as they come up. I have account managers. I have Amazon specialists. And then I have utility contract work or specialists in addition to that. So all of those roles at the end of the day plug into the organization, and as an organization gets larger, there's additional specialization. So we've got specialization in our creative department. I have shot multiple videos with our creative team where they actually show how we create A+ content, right? So I don't think I've seen anything like that online. We might be the only ones that have literal footage of how it takes to make an A+ content from a designer's point of view. Check it out at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/myamazonguy, and just type in A+ content and you'll find one of those videos. Really cool. And that would probably be my first example that I will impact on the podcast today that shows how we run like a news organization. So everything we do, I treat like a story, right? And there are four components to work at My Amazon Guys. So first is to understand the scope of a project or a task. The second is to complete that work. The third is to QA it or quality assure it, make sure it met the scope or the request. And four is to deliver it to a client. So similarly, in a television news organization, you have a meeting in the morning to say, hey, let's go collect some stories, right? Reporter one, you go call the captain of the Rexburg police. And reporter two, you go call the mayor and ask him how business is doing. Reporter three, you go talk to random people, man on the street, MOSs, and just ask them how they feel about the current situation with COVID-19, right? So that's like how it could go down. So in our organization, we meet at least 3 times a week as a full organization, and we talk about changes and ideas and things that we observe. And every single meeting, we find a change to Amazon's platform. So, hey, they rolled out with a new ad type. Hey, they're changing how shipping works. Hey, there's this new program called Sell by Amazon, which is different than Fulfilled by Amazon or Seller Fulfilled Prime or Vendor Central, right? Just brand new spanking programs that are coming out every single day. So my team makes a judgment call. Is this a good program for our clients? Yes, no. If it's good for 80%+ of them, we'll send out a mass email and communicate it. If it's only good for 3 or 4, we'll one-off it and go talk to that specific client and set up meetings and go make that a project. So that's kind of our news gathering, if you will. For the most part, we are the news generators. We do not find breaking news from other news aggregators. There are a few exceptions to that. One of my favorite is Better AMS. We had them on the podcast about a week ago. Some fabulous breaking news content. Follow them for sure. There are many organizations out there that are telling good information, but we are really one of the very few that tells breaking news, like here's what's happening today in Amazon, and we're first to market on it. So that's a great plug-in to say, hey, come subscribe to us. We have good late-breaking information all the time. And if you're a client of ours, you see that when we tell you, hey, we think Prime Day is going to be in September this year based on our rumored internal resource at Amazon, right? And there's nothing on paper about that, by the way, and that could float. But that's the kind of, I mean, that's a great example, like breaking news, Prime Day is in September this year, right? And what does that mean? How does this impact you? Find out tonight on the 5 o'clock news, right? Get your attention getting device in the system. So we meet multiple times a week. We come up with the beat. We go track down information. So now let's say we got a project with a client. So we figure out the scope. We go QA it. We figure out, okay, what needs to be done. And then if it's interesting enough and it's something we could apply to multiple clients, and there's many things, you know, there's a couple dozen different tasks we do for all clients, everything from manage ads to set up their A+ content, set the keywords and the search terms, improve the titles and the bullets, and optimize, right? Everything we do comes down to traffic and conversion. So we go through this process of figuring out what can we do to improve traffic, what can we do to improve conversion, which leads to sales growth. And we try and growth hack that. We pull down any barrier we possibly can to make that happen. So over time, I used to think like a marketer and hire other marketers. How can we market our clients? Well, in Amazon's world, marketing is not the most important thing you do. In fact, the most important thing you do to sell on Amazon is troubleshooting, problem solving. So I have, since I figured that out, I've hired a team of technical people. Almost every single person in my organization has or is working on an IT technical degree. That's really interesting because we run into problems every single day. Now, because I'm a one-stop shop agency, we don't just manage ads. We don't just do creative. We do everything. That's an overwhelming feeling sometimes as a founder and an owner, but it's also been a really good level of service that we've offered, and we've mastered each one of these areas. We're probably best in class on catalog management. We're better than average and doing really well in most areas. I would put my agency against gigantic agencies on many of these individual areas. But where I think I beat them consistently is execution and speed, right? I share all my trade secrets with my clients. We're agile. We beat them out on getting stuff done. And the reason for that is because we operate like a news organization. At 5 o'clock, that news story has to go on the air, regardless of where it's at. And it forces a level of quality and a level of delivery and communication with our clients. And so that means that if something is not finished, if it's not fully baked, we still communicate it. And we say, hey, status of this is XYZ. We'll tell you more tomorrow. We send out weekly reports where we indicate, you know, here's your sales up, down, here's some observations. This is weak. We're working on it. Oh, this is really good. Here's a record week. We've had 30% of our clients have record weeks in the last 30 days. And it's not just toilet paper that they're selling. We're talking all kinds of items. Amazon sales are way up right now, which is great. It's good to be an Amazon seller right now. It's very much a good industry to be in, with all of the people flocking to buy online, avoiding the stores and whatnot. So client communication is fundamental. And how we prospect for new clients, you know, I would say in 2019, I was an 80% referral-based business, 20% people found me online. Today, I'm probably closer to a 50-50 split and moving closer to 40-60 split. And that's because we are revving up our content machine, just like a news organization, and we're sharing all of our content. I had a coaching call today with an individual who, and I couldn't even get a word out in the first 3 or 4 minutes. They were showering me with praise by saying, "Hey, Steven, you know, I was looking online how to solve this problem, and I found your video, and within 2 minutes, you taught me how to freaking solve this thing. And I'm buying this coaching call from you just because you gave me that value." And Gary Vee would say, content is your attention, your ability to get attention, right? That's your currency, is attention. And, 3 minutes into that call, he's just, you know, throwing on the praise. And he's like, "Yeah, man, I go to your site and, you know, I've looked at other agencies before, and your agency's like, take it or leave it. Here's our deal." And that's very much like a news organization who sets the rates. Here's our ad views this month. Here's how much it costs to get a commercial on the 5 o'clock news tonight. Same thing. Charge $125 to get a coaching call on my calendar today. You can do that at myamazonguy.com. Click on the book a coaching call. And we as an organization are prospecting with clients through content generation. And we are revealing behind the scenes, troubleshooting, here's how to solve problems at Amazon. One of my favorite examples is we have a video where we reveal the answer key to passing pesticides gating. And I have yet to have a client who actually sells a pesticide item. However, I've had 23 clients that we've passed that test for. And you might be scratching your head saying, why is that? Well, Amazon's random algorithm just, lo and behold, just locks your listing and says, "Hey, you can't sell pesticides without passing this test." Okay, that's cool. I sell tweezers. What does it have to do with pesticides? Well, you have two options, right? You can fight the logic or lack of logic on Amazon's part and spend 2 weeks trying to fight them in tickets and whatnot, or you can look at my video and in 120 seconds, just get the answer key and pass the dang test. And that's tremendous value, right? Now, is there some gray area because I'm revealing how to pass this test on Amazon? Absolutely. If you sell pesticides, don't cheat. Go pass the test. But if you don't sell pesticides and Amazon is penalizing you and trying to make you go learn about pesticides, screw that. Like, get around the boat and just go pass the test and go Google "My Amazon Guy Pesticides Test" and go pass that sucker, because there's no reason Amazon's barriers should prevent you from selling today. Right? The reason I'm in business is because Amazon's a buyer's platform. And we as sellers and we as an agency have to circumvent all of the stupid barriers Amazon has put up. And increasingly, those barriers are increasing of late. And that's because Amazon, as a product lifecycle, is entering the maturity phase. And that means they're putting up more barriers. They're trying to protect themselves. They've got monopoly concerns, the government. They've got FDA shooting down their back about claims being made, topicals and COVID and price gouging. Like, all of these things are just giant risks for Amazon and could prevent them from growing their business. And so those 80-20 rules where you screw over 20% of good actors to get rid of the 80% of the bad actors are very much in full force at Amazon as an organization. So to keep up with that, We teach all these concepts. We share our trade secrets with our clients. We post our content online, and we're building a library of information. And so that is why My Amazon Guy is pretty much being run like a news organization. And it would probably take me another hour to impact like the day-to-day affairs and what that really means. But I think I got my main point across today, and that is communication is fundamental, and the show must go on at 5 o'clock every single day. And if you don't have the story for 5 o'clock's news, you go find one. You go find that next sale, that next project. Maybe you've been a client with my Amazon guy for 6 months, and we grew your sales, and it was amazing. And all of a sudden, month six, sales are static, and you're like, what else can we do? And we're like, cool, let's go launch on Etsy and Walmart and eBay, and we'll just keep throwing things at you, right? We continue to add value, because that is, as a fundamental agency, you have to continually add value every single month, because the barrier to entry for a competitor of mine to come in here and say, hey, cool, they're doing okay, but we can do great, here's how, is pretty much that. It's a conversation. So as an agency, we continue to add value wherever we possibly can. There's only so many hours in the day, and you as an organization, you have to do the same thing. You have to focus in and choose where do you want to be excellent. I think businesses need three things to run. I think they need finance, operations, and marketing. And you need to be excellent at least one of those areas. And for me, finance has actually surprisingly been the area that we're most excellent at. And we are really good at operations and marketing, but I'd say finance by a long shot is where I would give us an excellent grade compared to 99% of the other businesses that are run out there. And so whatever it is, whatever those three areas, you got to pick one, focus in on it, be excellent there, get a passing grade in the other two sections, but make sure that you focus in on which one you want to be best in class on. Because if you do that, you're going to have a solvent organization. You're going to be able to sell more products to more people more often for more money and do well as an organization. So that is my podcast today. My name is Stephen Pope. I'm the founder of My Amazon Guy. If you would like to hire us, go to myamazonguy.com. Contact us. We'll give you a free consultation to see how we might be a fit for you. We have services ranging from creative and A-plus content, listing reinstatement, launching on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, eBay, and everything in between from advertising to SEO. So hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Hope you enjoyed the storytelling and the news organization element. Love being a reporter. Love even more selling on Amazon and helping you as a seller sell on Amazon. So hope you subscribe to our podcast. Tell two other people about it so we can spread the word, and we appreciate those referrals. So hope you have a great weekend and do everything that you need to do to continue growing your business. My name is Stephen Pope, and I am the founder of My Amazon Guy.